church. Have became a leader in the body of Christ, and then also a lot of the early church stuff too as well. So we want to engage as we do our study of 2 Timothy. We want you to engage with us as we read through our Bibles. So that's the first thing. We want you to read your Bible. Say, I will read my Bible. Amen. Man, you said it. Anyway, the second thing we want to do is in this study, we want to help you to know how to live and be unshaken in an ungodly culture. This book is written, this letter, rather, is written to Timothy, who was a leader of the church at Ephesus. And we'll talk about Ephesus later in just a minute. But Ephesus was an ungodly culture. And so this is vitally important, and really it bodes well for us to read and understand it in light of today's culture, in light of where we are going as a culture. And so it's important for us to know this is super relevant. The Bible, people say the Bible's not relevant. This is highly, incredibly relevant to where we are today. And so we want to help you. And how does Paul address his young a young leader in the church of Ephesus on how to live godly in an ungodly culture? And so, and it was very fascinating. So the book of Timothy, really quick, is Timothy. This is a book Paul wrote. Paul was an apostle. He was a persecutor of Christians and got saved in a radical way that you'll read about as you read with us. And then he picked up along the way in a lot of his travels, he picked up this young man named Timothy, who was a young man at the time when he picked him up, He became his a disciple of Paul's, and Paul just poured everything into him as a mentor to a mentee, and Timothy became a leader. Timothy became a leader in the whole movement, right? He actually co-wrote some of the letters that Paul wrote, so we pick up Timothy. He writes this letter, and then we find out Paul is in a Roman prison and writes this letter to Timothy, and Paul knows that his time is almost up. He understands that he's been under house arrest at one point, and he's always kind of in trouble with the law, and now he is like really in trouble, and this is not going to go well. He understands that he is shortly going to be executed for his faith. And so this is the last recorded in the Bible. This is the last letter that we have of Paul. Some of the last words of Paul to a mentee, to a young. Actually, remember we said last week that Timothy's not, he's not a teenager. This is not teenager Timothy. This is probably mid-30s Timothy. He's been doing ministry for a while. I always thought in my own mind until I started reading a little bit, I always thought, well, don't look, you know, there's that scripture in 1 Timothy. Don't let him look down on your age, Timothy. Well, Timothy was probably still around 30 in 1 Timothy. So, but he's not a novice. Paul is not dealing with a novice in Timothy. He's still dealing with somebody who is his disciple, but he's not a novice. Timothy is not a novice. Matter of fact, Paul will actually go and during one of his travels, he'll send Timothy to the Corinthian church. You know anything about the Corinthian church? They had some issues. And so he sent Timothy to go help that church out and fix some things. So he's not a novice. He wouldn't send them if he was a novice. And now we find, as his letter is written, Paul's in prison, knowing he's about to die. And then he writes this letter to Timothy, who is a leader of the church of Ephesus. And we talked a little bit about Ephesus last week, just a quick review, that it was one of the most ungodly places in all of the known world at that time. It was a Greek town. It was a town, city. I like what Jessica says. Just think L.A. Is that size and that importance in the world. Think of a like larger city. It was a port town, and it also had one of the seven wonders of the world, which was a terrible thing because it was a temple to Artemis, or as the Romans called her, Diana. Those are the same. Kind of the same thing. That's a whole other story. But basically, people would come and worship Diana, or they would worship Artemis at this temple. And that had to do with a lot of sexual immorality. We just won't get into that. But anything you can think of, don't think of it right now. But I'm telling you, it went on in there. And it was a very ungodly place, and idol worship, all kind of stuff was going on. So this is the church that Timothy's leading at the time of this writing. And this is the circumstances. Why is this important? Well, you'll really see today as we dive in a little bit further why that's important. So these scripture, this area, it's like, so if you stepped out of your home as a Christian in Ephesus, I want to give you a picture. Everywhere you look screams to you that everybody around you believes differently than you do. Everybody around you, like you walk out of your thing and the Temple of Artemis is right there on the highest part of the, it was there for everybody to see. It's over a football field wide and long, right? Amen, football. Starts today. Pray for the Falcons. Amen. All right. So it was bigger than a football field, right? Sorry. Gotta throw it in. But basically the idea is you don't belong here. You are different if you're a follower of Jesus. Matter of fact, you're not welcome into places. You're everywhere you go, you're different because you believe the way you believe in Ephesus. And I'm reminded of these couple of these scriptures. You don't have this one, but we have the next one. John chapter 16, Jesus says, "You are not of this world, just as I am not of this world." We do have this one. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul says this. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. That's to us. And we eagerly await for the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. I'm going to read a few scriptures. He's just listed a whole bunch of the heroes of the faith here in Hebrews 11. And he talks about these people who died for their faith, people who risked their lives and stepped out in faith, like just heroes of the faith. Then he talks about the people who died for their faith. And he says in verse 13, he says, "All these died in faith, although they had not received the things they were promised. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on this earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have the opportunity to return. But they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call them their God, for he has prepared a city for them." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles to abstain from sexual desires that wage war against the soul." This idea that this is not our home. This is not where we belong. Like when we go out into the world, we are called to be different. And we should be set apart as different. And this should not, like, let me just say plainly. This world should not be comfortable for us. We should not be comfortable in this world. Because there's something on the inside of us, yes, that longs for that place. Amen? Our home. But until then, we are strangers. And it was it was just as evident for Timothy and the people of the church of Ephesus as it is for us today. Right? So it's like when you go, if you've gone and lived in another culture, or not lived in another country, you've gone and visited another culture and you've actually, I mean, not just a tourist place of another culture, but actually gone to that culture and dived into a different culture, you really quickly go, "I am the outsider here. I am different. There is something different about me here." That's exactly the same. We are foreigners, exiles. anyway, so let's continue on with this letter. 2 Timothy, I'm going to start in, I'm going to need my glasses because I want to read from the book. 2 Timothy, we're going to start right back in verse 1. We're going to read what we read last week and then read some more. Here we go. 2 Timothy. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, and now your mother, first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is in you also. Therefore, I remind you, here we go, this is new, this week. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound judgment. CSB. Hang on. Where are we supposed to read? Sorry. So, verse 8. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, that has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know in whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what he's entrusted to me until that day. Here we go. There's a lot there. Amen. So growing up, I was a fire enthusiast. I was that kid. I loved fire. I absolutely loved fire with everything in me. And I would go out in the, it's a different world. Sometimes I think back, go, where were my parents, at this time, while I'm out in the back, building fires. I literally would build fires in the back. Lisa, oh my goodness. Yeah, here we go. Lisa knows my stories. So she can bear witness to all that I'm teaching you this morning. So I would actually go out in the back and I would build fires and I would light things on fire. I would make little models and then put them in gasoline and throw the plane into the fire and watch it explode. And it was terrible. I was like a weirdo. And thank God for Jesus. There's no telling. But I would build fires. So I was the guy who almost burned up our pop-up camper. Remember that? There was literally, I was burning fire. I was made a fire next to our camper, our pop-up camper. And it was on a bed of pine needles. Pine needle sap is amazing. And it lit and it took off under the thing. So I had fire shooting up on both sides. So you remember? Shooting up around both sides of the. And then there was another time where I started a fire. Oh, yeah. Well, no, I didn't burn up the camper. I took the hose. I grabbed the hose and I grabbed the hose and I took it as far as I could, but it wouldn't quite reach, the thing. So you're with my thumb, doing my thumb thing on the end of the hose, trying to get it before mom and dad found out. Mom and dad found out. There's a burning inferno going on. And what I was worried about is the tires were going to pop. I don't know. I wasn't worried about the whole thing burning up, but I was worried about the tires. So there was that instance. And there was another instance where I was burning, and it got to be a pretty good sized fire. And the embers went up in the air and down across the street into my neighbor's backyard and caught their, you remember that? Caught their yard on fire. And so their whole back was on fire. Whole backyard was on fire. It was a mess. It was a mess. And then we had these woods that we'd always go play in the woods by there. And literally they caught on fire. And it wasn't me. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. But my neighbor walks up, Jerry Robinson, walks up to me, and he goes, but I mean, they have the fire trucks, and I mean, they're all there. And I'm like, I didn't do it. And Jerry, my neighbor, walks up to me. He goes, now, David, he goes, you can tell me. You can tell me if you did it. Like, I would understand if you did. It's like, no, I didn't do it, but I had the reputation. So I was basically, so when I speak about fire, I want you to say I speak from an expert platform. I know fire. And so the scripture says in verse 6, he says, rekindle the gift. Let's go back up there to verse 6. He says, therefore, why therefore? He says all these things. He says, Paul says, Timothy, I know about your sincere faith. I know that your grandmother had it, your mom have it, and now you have it. So therefore, English, right? What is therefore? What is it therefore? So therefore, because of all these things, because it's in you, Paul says, Timothy, rekindle the gift of God that's within you. Church, this morning, how are you going to be unshakable in this world? Rekindle the gift of God that is within you. Rekindle the gift. I believe that gift is not just I think it's twofold. I think it's a certain gift that Paul could have gotten by the laying on of hands. You see the same thing in 1 Timothy. But I also believe it's not only that, it's just the gift of God of the Holy Spirit within you. I believe it's twofold. I believe it is the gift of God. I believe there is a gifting he's talking about. But I also believe that there is this idea that you can allow the Spirit of God to be inside you and it lie in you dormant. He says, I remind you to rekindle. And the words has to do with the fan into flames. This word rekindle is actually that fire word, rekindle it, right? And so he says, this idea, like, here's an interesting thought. It's the gifting. Paul knew it was in there in Timothy, and Timothy knew it was in there. And it can, listen, that gift in you, the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what's so dangerous. The power of the Holy Spirit, the gifting inside you, can lie in you and no one around you notice. And no one around you notice. It can be inside you and nobody know. And so Paul's instruction to Timothy is, hey, fan that thing in the flames, man. Fan that thing in the flames. Don't let it go out. Don't let it lie in you dormant. So we can do the same thing with what God's given us. We can allow that gift to lie in us dormant. And then he adds this. He says, because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love. And he uses this word, sound judgment. We'll get into that in a minute. He says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. That word is cowardness. That word is cowardice. He doesn't give you a spirit of the lion in the, what's that movie? The Wizard of Oz. Right? He hasn't given you that spirit to back off. And it's interesting that he's talking about that in light of, that's why we read the scriptures together and we don't just pull scriptures out. He's writing the scriptures in light of the gift of God that's within you. Right? He says, listen, stir up that gift, rekindle the gift. Because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He hasn't given you a spirit that wants you to back off and be fearful. And we're going to talk a little bit about why he would want to be fearful in a minute, because he talks about these things. Those giftings that God's put inside of us. God calling us to rekindle those things. Fan those things into flames. And God gave me this amazing. Let me just say this back. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. I want to get this in there. But of power. God has given you, and let me just say this. So in this, really, he's saying this, and it's not like a spirit like the Holy Spirit. He's talking about this mindset, attitude, a way of thinking about who you are. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, like a mindset of fear. He said, but he's given you a spirit of power. What is that? The ability to get something done. The ability to get it done. You have within you the power to get the things done. Power, love, God's love, agape love, the personality of who God is, love is what's inside you. And sound judgment. This idea has to do with this word actually means, and there's, what does it say? Power, love, and a sound mind, people say, the other translations say. This word has to do with like moderation or self-discipline. Oh, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love. And some translations actually translate it, self-discipline. But it's this idea of constrained moderation in your life, focused on certain things. Power, love, and a sound mind, self-discipline. So, what God wants to do, and this is as I was studying this, and as I was reading this, God just gave me such an incredible vision of God like this fire. When you're at your campfire and it all flames go out and there's those embers that are still burning. Some of you, that's you. There was a time in your life where it was a campfire. It wasn't a camp embers. It was a fire. And what we do at those campsites, well, they have things to do it now, but what we used to do is get down next to them and blow. Take some pine needles. They're great. Leaves are great. Got to be careful with leaves because they fly up in the air too easy. Into the neighbor's yard. I know by experience. I told you I'm the expert. And blow. Put the stuff on there. And blow, and let those embers ignite, and let those things fan it into flames. What we need is the amazing breath of God to come into your life and blow on those embers. Blow on those places in your life that are dry. Blow on those places that used to be fanned into flames. Because we're living in an ungodly culture. In an ungodly world, and we're called to be unshakable. You're not going to be unshakable if you just have embers. You need that thing fanned in the flame, Timothy, us. You need the Spirit of God. And it's interesting that this is the quandary. So when God gave me that vision of the Holy Spirit actually bending down and blowing on those embers, I went, well, that's not what it says, Lord. It doesn't say that, Lord. It says, Timothy, you rekindle them. I mean, the Lord had a conversation about this. But like, he says, you do it. Timothy, you rekindle. What I sensed the Lord tell me as I was studying is you have to position yourself to allow the Spirit of God and put those things on that so those embers have something to ignite on. As the Holy Spirit blows on those embers and you stack those things up, what is that? It's your daily quiet time. It's your daily time with God. It's your worship of Him. My focus is on Him. I'm not distracted. We had a worship night a couple of weeks ago and somebody had a, Eric had a, oh, Eric and, no, Pastor Eric and your wife Jessica had a word. She says, I hear the word distraction. We can be so distracted. You know, wow, straight from the Lord right here. You know, there's things that won't catch on fire just because you blow the embers. So what are we putting on the, this is straight from, I'm right now. Like, there are things that you can put on that fire that will not ignite. That's called distractions. Social media doesn't burn up when you put it on the fire. Your daily time with God burns up. It catches and ignites on the inside of you. Amen? Our lives were called to be a fire. And then connected thought, right? Remember, these are connected thoughts. So in verse 8, he says this. He says, but he hasn't given, remember, giftings, power, love, and a sound judgment. Like they go together. And then he says, so, connected thought. Connected thought. So, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Instead, share in the sufferings for the gospel, relying on the power of God. Relying on the power of God. Listen, what is he saying? He's saying, Timothy, look, I know where you live. I know where you're at. I know that every time you open your door and you walk out, you see that big temple. I know that everybody in your church, when they walk out their door, they see that big temple. And everywhere you go, there is all this stuff about worshiping the emperor of Rome. Everywhere you go, I see these things. He says, don't be ashamed. Even though you feel like you're the only one, even though you feel like there's nobody else around you that worships God, that everybody in the whole city hates what you believe in. He says, Timothy, don't be ashamed. And actually, he puts it in a personal thing. And also, don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Because there are some things going about Paul and words going on. Anyway, that's another thing. But he says, don't be ashamed. Because the whole world, Timothy, wants to push you down. Push you into this mold. And sit you down and say, hey, listen, Timothy, shut up. Don't talk about your gospel. Don't talk about what you believe. The whole, all of your society, all of Ephesus, Timothy, wants to push you down and say, hey, listen, don't say anything about it. Because the only thing that matters around, only people we worship around here is Artemis and these Greek gods. The only people we worship around here is our emperor. Listen, the world would want you to sit down and make you say, just shut up. Shut up. We are beginning to live in a culture. We do thankfully live in the South. So we are shielded by our great Southeast culture. But we still live in a world that's becoming more and more antagonistic about what we believe, right? So what do we do with that? What do we do with that? I'm just going to say it. Do we just blast things on social media? That's the way we fight it back. That's why I'm going to fight the system. Wow, because then only the people in your circle will hear what you said. The only people that who will listen are the people that agree with you because they're in your, what's the word? I forgot the word. Algorithm. Right? You know what his answer to Timothy was? Don't be ashamed. When you have an opportunity at your job, the people that God's put around you, I don't know if you know or not, like you can only do so much, but you can do a ton with the people that God's put around you. You can't, like, we tell our youth, go out and change the world. Really? Really? Like, you realize that, like, Jesus had 12 that were close to him. Jesus had his people that he, every time he had a contact with other people, that was his influence. But you know what he did? He raised up 12 around him. And they raised up their disciples around them, Timothy being one of them, right? And so they go off. Like, your job is to affect your world wherever you find yourself. Preach the word. Be the image of Jesus. Because use the gifting that's within you. Because the world wants to snuff it out. And I'm afraid that we're living in a time where the world, because of the pressures of the world and the it's discouraging. Let's just be honest. It's discouraging. What that wants to do is just pulls you down and go, no, shut up. No, it's not you. It's all, you're bad or whatever they want to do. And they snuff out your fire. We live in a culture that wants to do that. But God says, fan those things into flame. Like, you be strong. Like Jessica said, I'm so glad I come to church where I know I'm not alone. I may be the only one on my job, but I'm not alone in here. I'm not alone at Hope Church. I got people who believe what I believe right alongside with me. But he says this, interesting. He says, don't be strong in your own strength. He says, be strong relying on God's power. You know what that's going to force us? Listen, guys, you know what's going to force us to do? Every day. God, I need you, God. God, I can't do this alone. God, people at my job, they make fun of me. They tease me. They say what I believe is hateful and all this other stuff they say about me and my fellow Christians and all that stuff. God, I need your strength today. God, would you fill me with your fire? God, would you fan those flames in me, God? Because I feel it coming, God. I feel the pressures coming to concede and give up, God. But no, I know in whom I believe. That's what Paul says. He says, you know what's going to cause you to be strong? He says, I know in whom I believed. And I know he is able to save me and keep me until that day. I know, because then he goes through a whole list of what Christ has done. I know that this word of life is the truth. It brings freedom. If my coworkers only knew the life that was available to them, because all I hear from them is their depression and their sadness and their beat upness. But if all I hear is that, and God has given me the light, I don't have to change the world, but I can rescue that person who's in depression at my job. I can be Jesus to them. I can be Jesus to the person at my job that their marriage is falling apart. I can be Jesus to them that they went to church one time and they got hurt and all the other stuff. I can be Jesus to them. Paul says, I'm not ashamed because I know. I know. Church, do we know? Do we remember? He says this, for this, he goes through the gospel. And in verse 11, for this gospel, Paul says, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to guard what he's entrusted to me until that day. He said, because listen, this whole world and all the stuff that's going on, God has called me to be a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And people who have been in church for a while and you've heard teachings of, you know, well, some are called to this, some are called to be teachers, and some are called apostles, and some are called evangelists, and some are, well, that messes all the things up right there, because Paul's also three of the five. Like, we are not, Paul's a great teacher. He was a great apostle. And he was also a great person that heralded the gospel, heralded the good news. The word euangelion is the word for good news. And it has to do with this idea of back in the day when a new king or new person would come to power, they would come out and they would call out, hey, there's a new king. There's a new king. There's good news. That herald was that person who went out and heralded the truth. That's the same idea when you talk about the good news. It's the herald of the good news. Everywhere we go, by your life, by your words, by your actions, just simply being like Jesus, stirring up that gift that's on the inside of you, stirring it up. Don't allow, listen, this world wants to snuff it out. What is my word for you this morning that God gave me in my study? Tell the people that the world wants to snuff out the fire of God that's within you. But to position yourself to allow the Spirit of God to blow again into your life. And as you position yourself, he goes, hey, man, you know what? I've never been baptized. Do you think I could get baptized? Well, the answer is a resounding yes. What is that? It is having this gift of God stirred up in you. That when somebody mentions something like that, your thoughts are eternal. And buying a wheelbarrow is not as important anymore. Listen, guys, we have people all around us. How is this world going to change? One person at a time. Our world is in the place where it is because people have turned away from God. It's as simple as that. It's not because whatever the invisible monster that's out there. Well, it is about the invisible monster. It's called the devil. Deceiving people. We are truth bringers. We are people that herald the gospel. Don't let the gift of God stay dormant in you. God forbid. I'm just going to say it because the time is now. God forbid you work with somebody for years and years and years and they never know the truth of what you believe. They don't know the hope that's within you. Guys, this is our call. This is what we're called to be and do. Let's all stand together. Eric, why don't you come? The world we live wants to snuff out your purpose and your calling and the giftings that are inside you. How does he do that? He does that by distracting us on personal things that are going on inside of each one of us. He does it by the temptation of how good it all looks, how good the world looks. He does it because he knows, the enemy does it because he knows that if he allows you to reach the potential that is within you by the giftings and the power of God that's within you, that power, that love, and that sound mind. He knows if he can snuff that out. I don't even believe he even cares what it is. As long as he can render you ineffective. You know that same church time will eventually, that church and the churches around those areas, because of individual ministry, one-on-one evangelism, one-on-one touching other people with the gospel, that the message of Jesus will infiltrate all of Rome. It will spread, and no matter how much the government of Rome would try to stop it, it would eventually succumb to the greatness of the gospel. By the people of God being the light of the world, by the people of God, allowing their little light to shine so bright. And I've done it before. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan... And my old pastor used to always say, if your little fire is this big and a little, put it out, that's a problem. I am going to let it shine. So this is what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to open, we have time. I'm going to open these altars up this morning. If you feel, like I need a fresh infilling, a fresh touch of God, I've allowed that to, I've allowed the world to snuff out. There are things in me that I've put aside. Because of the pressures of the world, because of the pressures of life. And because of that, like, you lack purpose. You lack the fire that's inside you. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. If that's you, as we close, hallelujah. Actually, I'm not even going to give a big altar call. If that's you, just start coming on down. And we're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, let your wind come. Let the power of your Spirit come. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. You can't change unless you admit where you're at. You can't change until you admit where you're at. Hear me. You can't change until you admit, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. More of you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Holy Spirit, blow. Blow your mighty wind. Fan us into flames, God. God, we repent. God, we repent from where we put this world in front of you, God. God, we repent, God, for we allowed the world to take over our callings. We've allowed the world to keep us busy with other things that aren't eternal. God, we repent, God. God, help us, oh God. In Jesus' name, fill us up, God, to overflowing, God, by your presence, God. Let that fire burn in us again, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to pray a general prayer, and then we're going to dismiss. If you need to leave, you can leave. If you want prayer, we'll be glad to pray for you. In Jesus' name. So a lot of this is just demonic oppression. You know, we have an enemy that tries to come on and deceive us and everything. So I'm just going to bind that in Jesus' name. So in the name of Jesus, I come against every foul spirit in this room over the people of Hope Church that has tried to bring distraction, discouragement, sickness to distract us, other things to distract us, difficulties, things that are discouraging in our world, politics, all those things that distract us. God, in Jesus' name, I bind those things in Jesus' name, those lies of the enemy, in Jesus' name. And God, I release power, love, and a sound mind or sound judgment over the people of God. Power, God, your power to get things done. Your love, God, to grease the tracks, God, that your word can flow. And moderation and discipline. I release that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And I bind fear. I know in whom I believed. I know in whom God, what God has done in me. And I am persuaded. Put your hand over your heart. We're going to pray that as a general prayer and we're going to dismiss. Say, in Jesus' name, I know in whom I believed. And he is able to keep me and to keep the gift that's within me until the day I see him face to face in Jesus' name. Until then, I am through Jesus, the light everywhere I go in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, God. We thank you, God, for your grace. And I'm going to pray for the people that are up here. If you want prayer, it's still open. Y'all can still come. We're going to be unshakable in Jesus' name. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. If you want to stay and pray, you're welcome to stay and pray. God bless you. I love you guys so much. And have an amazing, amazing week. Read your Bibles. Amen. God bless you.